Sarah was beginning to look defeated again. I'd seen that look before in the faces of countless clients, when a technician-turned-business owner is suddenly confronted with the reality of her situation, a sense of hopelessness can set in. The challenge can seem overwhelming. But I sensed that Sarah would struggle with the idea and herself until she got it. "I guess I still don't get it," she said. "What's wrong with being a technician? I used to love the work I do, and if I didn't have to do all these other things, I'd still love it." "Of course you would," I answered, "and that's exactly the point. There's nothing wrong with being a technician. There's only something wrong with being a technician who also owns a business, because as a technician-turned-business owner, your focus is upside down. You see the world from the bottom up rather than from the top down. You have a tactical view rather than a strategic view. You see the work that has to get done, and because of the way you're built, you immediately jump in to do it. You believe that a business is nothing more than an aggregate of the various types of work done in it, when in fact, it's much more than that. If you want to work in a business, get a job in somebody else's business. But don't go to work in your own. Because while you're working, while you're answering the telephone, while you're baking pies, while you're cleaning the windows and the floors, while you're doing it, there's something much more important that isn't getting done. And it's the work you're not doing, the strategic work, the entrepreneurial work, that will lead your business forward, that will give you the life you've never yet known. "No," I said, truly enjoying this, "there's nothing wrong with technical work. It is, it can be, pure joy. It's only a problem when the technician consumes all the other personalities. When the technician fills your day with work, when the technician avoids the challenge of learning how to grow a business, when the technician shrinks from the entrepreneurial role so necessary to the lifeblood, the momentum of a truly extraordinary small business, and from the managerial role so critical to the operational balance or grounding of a small business on a day-to-day basis. To be a great technician is simply insufficient to the task of building a great small business. Being consumed by the tactical work of the business, as every technician suffering from an entrepreneurial seizure is, leads to only one thing, a complicated, frustrating, and eventually demeaning job. Can you see that as long as you view your business from the technician's perspective, you're doomed to continue having this experience?" I asked her as gently as I could. I saw that Sarah was still struggling with the idea of doing what she does differently. I waited for the question I knew was brewing, and it wasn't long before it came. "But I can't even imagine what my business would be like without me doing the work," she said. "It's always depended on me. If it weren't for me, my customers would go someplace else. I'm not sure I understand what's really wrong with that." "Well, think about it," I said. "In a business that depends upon you, on your style, on your personality, on your presence, on your talent and willingness to do the work, if you're not there, why, of course, your customers would go someplace else, wouldn't you? Because in a business like that, what your customers are buying is not your business's ability to give them what they want, but your ability to give them what they want. And that's what's wrong with it. What if you don't want to be there? What if you'd like to be someplace else, on a vacation or at home? Reading a book, working in the garden, or in a sabbatical, for God's sake. Isn't there any place you would rather be at times than in your business, filling the needs of your customers who need you so badly because you're the only one who can do it? What if you're sick, or feel like being sick, or what if you're just lazy? Don't you see, if your business depends on you, you don't own a business, you own a job. And it's the worst job in the world, because you're working for a lunatic. And besides, that's not the purpose of going into business in the first place. The purpose of going into business is to get free of a job so you can create jobs for other people. The purpose of going into business is to expand beyond your existing horizons so you can invent something that satisfies a need in the marketplace that has never been satisfied before, so you can live an expanded, stimulating new life. Sarah said, "I hate to beat a dead horse, but what if I want to do the technical work in my business? What if I don't want to do anything else but that?" "Then for God's sakes," I said as emphatically as I dared, "get rid of your business and get rid of it as quickly as you possibly can, because you can't have it both ways. You can't have your pie and eat it too. You can't ignore the financial accountabilities, the marketing accountabilities, the sales and administrative accountabilities. You can't ignore your future employees' need for leadership, for purpose, for responsible management, for effective communication, for something more than just a job in which their sole purpose is to support you doing your job. Let alone what your business needs from you if it's to thrive. That you understand the way a business works, that you understand the dynamics of a business, cash flow, growth, customer sensitivity, competitive sensitivity, and so forth." "The point is," I said to her, watching her face sink and then begin to lift with an unexpressed question, "if all you want from a business of your own is the opportunity to do what you did before you started your business, get paid more for it, and have more freedom to come and go, your greed, I know that sounds harsh, Sarah, but that's what it is. Your self-indulgence will eventually consume both you and your business." I paused and then continued, because I could see that Sarah was not yet really convinced. "You just can't get there from here. You just can't play the role of the technician and ignore the roles of the entrepreneur and the manager simply because you're unprepared to play them. Because the moment you chose to start a small business, Sarah, you unwittingly chose to play a significantly larger game than any game you had ever played before. And to play this new game, called building a small business that actually works, your entrepreneur needs to be coaxed out, nourished, and given the room she needs to expand. And your manager needs to be supported as well so she can develop her skill at creating order and translating the entrepreneurial vision into actions that can be efficiently manifested in the real world. Anything less than that will eventually push you to the brink of disaster and finally over the edge. Because a small business simply demands that we do it, or the business will shrivel on the vine. So whether we like it or not, we have to learn how. The exciting thing is that once you begin to, once your technician begins to let go, once you make room for the rest of you to flourish, the game becomes more rewarding than you can possibly imagine at this point in your business's life. "Tell me more about that," Sarah said. "I really want to know." "I will," I answered, "although I sense that you already understand quite a bit more than you think. But first, let's go on to adolescence, the second stage in a small business's growth."